It's a great pleasure to be here today, and thank you so much for allowing us to come. We remember the induction day with great pleasure. I felt incredibly at home this morning, not only, of course, because Tim was here, in a no-neck shirt, I noticed. And I'll speak to him about that afterwards. And I have a tie in here just in case, you understand. And so that's joy unspeakable. And then Trish are taking part this morning. You know, she and I are part of the same church in St. Ives in Cornwall. And it's just lovely. Her father is one of my favorite men on earth and visits here from time to time. And he's a brilliant poet and a wonderful preacher too. And I would encourage you on one occasion when he visits to hear something of what God does through him. And so that felt at home. And then, of course, I've been here several times. I took an in-depth session here, and a lady at the door with 5 extra brownie points told me what I preached on all those years ago. And I think that's just incredibly impressive. And so for every reason, and for those of you who remember David, and for obvious reasons, I hope there are many here who don't remember David Tucker. But for those of you who do, and thank God for him, can I tell you, Mary rang us last night to say that David is hoping to be out of hospital today after surgery. Beth and I had a meal with them the week before last, and it was lovely to renew fellowship with them. So for 100 reasons, it's great to be here. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Why have I chosen that verse? Well, memories. And there's another reason as well, and that is that this very week I celebrate 40 years of ordained ministry. 40 years ago in Bristol, I was ordained to the Christian ministry. And I should explain, I was only 7 and a half at the time. I was incredibly young, but that's how it was 40 years ago. And how the ministry has changed. The way I was dressed 40 years ago. The manner of the worship. The hymns that we sung. So many things have changed. But Jesus Christ, the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. That's the reason why I have felt led to this verse today. I was told at college that a verse without a context was a pretext. And there is a serious difficulty as to the context of this verse, so much so that it just seems to be in the middle of another section. It seems to have no connection whatsoever. In fact, there are some commentators who say that the writer to the Hebrews, after completing his very lengthy epistle, just puts down his pen, sits back in his chair, and praises God. And Jesus Christ, he says, the same. But I'm not sure that can be right. And so I have examined the context. And the context is change. And rather poignantly, it speaks about yesterday's leaders and today's leaders, and speaks of permanency in our Lord Jesus Christ, promises that are yes and amen, his eternal purposes, which are certain and secure. So, verse 7, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. That's a lovely thing to do and appropriate. And we're not intimidated so to do. That would show terrible insecurity if somehow we felt we were unable to thank God for those who had ministered in time past to us the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember them. Consider the outcome of their way of life. imitate their faith. What a bold and brave thing to say. But it said, and we are encouraged so to do, yesterday's leaders. And then you'll have noticed in the reading, today's leaders. And initially it seems a little straight, a little hard, a little firm. But if you look at verse 17, it says, obey your present leaders, submit to their authority. Well, that's heavy, man. I'm the pastor here. We're the elders, we're the deacons. Thank God we don't behave like that anymore. But my friend, theirs is a calling, and theirs is indeed a responsibility. When I was a student at Spurgeon's College all those years ago, they spoke about the dignity of the ministry. And it has nothing to do with wearing a tie on a Sunday morning. It does mean that that person has been called and recognized and set apart for a high calling. And we remember that. But what is the purpose of this? Obey them, says the writer, so that their work will be a joy and not a burden. Well, that's all right then. Because I'll tell you, a happy pastor is a happy church. I've been so happy in the ministry for 40 years that I feel I must have got it wrong. I must have cut corners somewhere. And my wife and I ever thank God that we have been happy in ministry. To what end? For what purpose? Because if we had been unhappy, says the writer, that would have been of no advantage to you. There are so many unhappy churches around. And my friend, your joy in Christ is to be guarded, never presumed upon, because that is God's will for you. So the passage is about change. It's the reason I have been led to it, change in my own life. Yesterday's leaders, I suppose that's me, and today's leaders, and I suppose that's Tim, and those who work here, and in between, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. So that's all right then. And I want to use this linkage. Consider the outcome of their way of life. Those who spoke the word of God to you, those who ministered the things of grace, who preached in the pulpit and lived out the message day by day, year by year. The unchanging word, the word that was preached, is immortal. It has been brought to bear upon your life. It has changed your situation. You do not remember it, but it has altered the way that you have walked, even to this moment of time. Those who spoke the word of God to you. The accent changes. Where did your Cornish accent go, Tricia? Her dad has the loveliest Cornish accent you have ever heard. The method changes. Thank God, even the illustrations change. But the preached word does not change, for it exalts Christ. It applies his truth. It brings to bear his word into our very lives. The preached word, Jesus Christ, the word made flesh. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The word that does not change. And here, of course, is the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the eternal word. I am the first and the last, he says. The one John, speaking of him, describes as full of grace and truth. That does not change. I'm so grateful that it's not truth in grace. I'm even more grateful that it's not just truth on its own. This was the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and is the minister of every gospel preacher to proclaim the truth, to say this is the word of God, to speak of our need and then to take us to the place where our need can be met. Grace and truth. Some messages are so hard. Some preachers are so cold. But the Lord Jesus Christ was lovely altogether. A joy to be with as they journeyed the dusty mile. His fellowship sometimes strange. His place of hospitality shocking. Never less than truth, but full of grace and truth. Such is our Lord Jesus Christ, and that does not change. He is the incarnate Word. Our God contracted to a span incomprehensibly made man, who comes into our situation and walks our mile and feels our need and experiences our sorrow. This same glorious Lord Jesus Christ, exactly the same. So he says, I understand. I have been where you have been. I feel what you have felt. The glorious Word that is our Lord Jesus Christ, that Word that the leaders preach to you, pointing to Christ alone. When I went all those years ago to Spurgeon's College, I walked in on the first day, and in the hall was a picture of Spurgeon. It was a young Spurgeon. He was clean-shaven. And I stood in front of this picture and he was pointing. Just pointing, a famous picture. And there and then I said, Lord, if in your grace I might spend my ministry just pointing. Not me, but him. The eternal Word made flesh. That I might bring him to bear in men and women and young people's lives. And as we sang last Sunday, happy if with my latest breath I might but gasp his name, preach him to all, and cry in death, behold, those who preached the word of life to you, the relevant word that speaks into our situation, the omniscient word, speaking of the deity of Christ, who knows? Who knows the week that you have just lived? Who knows the pressures that you now feel? The lonely one who goes home alone. The one who is concerned about finance and what the implication of financial stringency will imply. Those who have a pain, and you just wonder what it is. Those who are bereaved. He knows. And he cares. And he understands. Jesus Christ, the same. The omnipotent Word. The one who said, all power is given unto me, therefore, and how easy the therefore is when we know that the power is his and his alone. He is sufficient. That glorious promise, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And the love of God, revealed in Christ, the eternal Word, for God so loved that he gave. Well, praise him. When I was minister in Bethesda in Ipswich, and I don't know if still, but Bethesda had links with this church then. And we had many farmers in our leadership. And one day we were in the deacon's vestry and talking about an advert that was on television. You see, leaders talk about ordinary things too, I'm glad to say. And this advert was of a man ploughing a field. I wondered if it had been specially created for East Anglia. And he is driving his tractor. When he stops his tractor, gets down, puts his hand in his pocket and gets out a bar of chocolate and breaks it. Cadbury's, of course. An English firm in those days. And one of my deacons said, of course, he's an actor, you know. And we were very impressed by this. How do you know he's an actor, we asked. Ah, he said, he's got the wrong hands. Hasn't got farmer's hands, it's an actor's hands. And we were impressed. And my Lord Jesus Christ has the same hand. Somebody was once preaching on Tower Hill, and somebody shouted from the back of the crowd, I'm Jesus! And the preacher said, I wonder if you'd come up here, stand with me. You're Jesus, he said. Yes, the man replied. The preacher said, show me your hands. You see, my Jesus has nail-pierced hand, the one who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you remember in Acts 1 when the disciples are on the mount and Jesus is taken up and the angels say, this same Lord Jesus, the crucified, risen, victorious Lord Jesus Christ, oh, the love of it all. If you read in Acts 7, and it's only comparatively recently I've had this thought, and you remember the stoning of Stephen, this man who suffered a dreadful, horrible death for Christ. And the heavens are opened, and he sees the Son of Man. Now here is the matter that I thought of. How did he know he was the Son of Man? I'll tell you. Because he recognized him. It was Jesus. The same Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. His love has no limits. His grace has no measure. His power, no boundary known unto man. For out of his infinite riches, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. Jesus Christ, the Word. And I want to just turn the point one notch. And say comparatively quickly, because communion is to follow, the unchanging word, sufficient. I want you to understand this, that if the word of Christ was imperfect, it would need to change. It would need to be altered. It would need to be adapted. It would need to be updated. The writer to the Hebrews, if you had read previously, Hebrews 9 verse 26, once and for all, offered all time one sacrifice for sin. He sacrificed for their sins once for all. All that is necessary has been done. And you can't add to that. Once. And for all, oh my friend, it is imperative that we make our message clear. It is sometimes painful and difficult that it is made so that people can understand. It behoves us, and it troubles some of us older ones, that worship should be accommodating for outsiders who come. All of these things are necessities placed upon us. But my friend, the word is the same. The gospel is the same. And we would not tolerate for a second anything else. There's no other way of salvation. I sometimes meet people who think they're the divine exception, that they can come their own way. And this same Lord Jesus Christ has said, no one comes to the Father but by me. And that shorthand for me and all that I have done. A titled lady once said to John Wesley, do you mean that I have to come the same way as my butler? Yes, he replied. Then I will not come, she said. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. My friend, Christ, the answer to our every need. And then can I just turn it one more notch? The unchanging word, the Lord Jesus Christ, sufficient and complete. Praise his name. Those great titles given to our Lord Jesus Christ. Prophet, priest, and king. They are still his titles. Prophet, to address my situation. To speak into where I am, to address my particular need, to convey to me the very word of God. And priest? Well, this book is all about priests. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every point just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we might find grace to help us in our time of need. Or the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are so many evangelical Christians who know what Jesus did yesterday and are anticipating what he'll be doing tomorrow. But what's he doing today? Is it in Alice in Wonderland that there was jam yesterday and jam tomorrow, but no jam today? That's how so many Christians are. What Jesus is doing for you now, naming your name, speaking your situation, telling how it is, applying promises into the very nature and the detail of your complex need. A high priest in heaven now, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Prophet and priest and king. Jesus is king. And we bow before him. And we give him the honor that is his due. And we worship him. Worship, however modern, however accessible, is never cheap. Jesus is king, and I will exalt him just the same. And so my last point, turning it but one notch more, the word of Christ, sufficient, complete, and secure. Has Tim used the illustration that he was in an earthquake once? I bet he has. And so have my wife and I. Twice, We were in Tokyo on one occasion, and on the 42nd floor of a hotel, when Beth said, "What's that?" And I said, "What's what?" And just things rattled. And it was an earthquake of minute proportions. And I emailed my daughter, who is a producer with the BBC, and said, "Did you hear about the earthquake in Tokyo yesterday?" And she emailed back and said, "No." Well, but then we were in Osaka, and there really was an earthquake. And it shook the hotel, and it was the main line on the news, and earthquakes. And I'm told that this fallen creation is built on plates that move, cause earthquakes, tornadoes, tsunamis, the Haiti disaster. Where can anyone be secure in this day and age? Everything is changing. Continental shift seems to be the very explanation of everything. Mm-hmm. But those who hold firm to Christ are firm. Those who are secure in Christ are secure. And those who rest in Him discover His everlasting arms to be all that they need. There was a time when I thought the everlasting arms were a kind of safety net to stop you hitting the floor, until I held my first child tight and close. And then I understood the everlasting arms. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Just a few weeks ago, my wife and I had to go back to London to take a funeral, which was at West Norwood. And the grave, we discovered, was but 20 yards from the grave of Spurgeon. We were very excited. We had never seen it before. And we went and stood at the grave of Spurgeon, and around the tomb is these words, "His love in time past forbids me to think He'll leave me at last in trouble to sink." Isn't that wonderful? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. After 40 years of ministry, happy if with my latest breath, I might, in the years that God allows me, point men and women to the unchanging Lord Jesus Christ, who is yet mighty to save. Amen.